You know, when it comes to wireless carriers, sometimes what you see isn't always what you get, except with Visible. With Visible, what you see is exactly what you get. If you haven't heard of Visible, well, now you have. They're the wireless carrier that's making wireless visible. It's in the name. With Visible, there are no hidden fees, no fine print, no hassle, nothing to hide. It's just $25 a month, all taxes and fees included. And you don't need more than one line of wireless to save. You can save on a line all to yourself with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. And again, just $25 a month. The future of wireless is here, and it is transparent. If you want more transparency in your wireless plan, you want to be on the Visible plan. Switch to Visible today and save at Visible.com. That's Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com. This episode of GameScoop is sponsored by Squarespace. If you're looking for a way to make your business stand out and succeed online, Squarespace is the all-in-one website platform for you. They take the stress out of creating an awesome website, engaging with your audience, and selling anything from products to content to time, so you're able to focus on, you know, everything else. In other words, you'll have more time for gaming. With the new guided design system, you can choose from curated layouts and styling options to build a unique online presence from the ground up, optimized for every device. And with Squarespace's integrated, optimized SEO tools, you'll show up more often to more people. Squarespace doesn't just make things easier for you. Checkout for your customers is made seamless with simple but powerful payment tools that allow you to accept credit cards, PayPal, and Apple Pay, and in eligible countries, offer the option to buy now and pay later with Afterpay and Clearpay. So whether you're just starting out or looking to expand your existing brand, be sure to visit squarespace.com for a free trial, and when you're ready to launch, go to squarespace.com/gamescoop to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. That's squarespace.com/gamescoop for 10% off. Come get up.
IGN GameScoop. We're doing this now.
Yeah.
Is it happening
right
now?
It is. What's up, everybody? Welcome to IGN GameScoop. I'm your host, Damon Hatfield. With me this week is Christine Steimer.
Hello.
Craig Harris is here.
Hi.
And Nathaniel Ahern.
Hello.
The nosiest, slowest, latest person ever.
I am.
I killed you in the Sims yesterday.
I disagree.
Took you a while to get down here.
Nate
is the nosiest person ever.
Really? I'm pretty nosy.
He'll come over to my desk.
What Damon's doing.
He'll pick things up. He'll pick up my phone and look at my phone.
But it's also like, now that he doesn't like me to do it, I go over and just like poke at him and see what he's doing right through his things.
He does it.
He knows better than to do that with me.
Yeah, I do. Well, women are a whole different ballgame.
With many things, they are a whole different ballgame. It's a rainy day in San Francisco, but we're gonna spread a little sunshine here.
Ooh, are we?
The GameScoop podcast.
Wow, that's ambitious.
Man, Christine, you've been pretty busy this week.
Yeah, it's been quite the week.
You've done a couple things this week.
Just a
Not
few.
The least of which was you reviewed Fallout New Vegas.
I did.
One of the biggest games of the year.
Yes.
So, is Fallout New Vegas good?
No, it's great. According to the score box.
But what about according to Christine?
According to me, it's also I wouldn't have given it that score if I didn't like it. But I will say that there are issues.
Yeah.
Like, oh well. Yeah.
It's got a billion bugs in it. And
it's
that's
a Fallout
really
game. What do you expect? Yeah.
It seemed to be even buggier than Fallout 3, though.
That's crazy. How is that even possible?
It's running on the same engine.
It's been a while since I played Fallout 3, so that might maybe that's it. Maybe I'm like, oh,
I don't know. I watched you play a lot of New Vegas, and I don't remember seeing most of that stuff happen to me in Fallout 3.
Yeah.
I don't know.
And the load times can be
Obsidian, man.
Ridiculous.
Well,
I mean, up to
2 minutes
for
too.
A load screen.
Well, right, but if they're saying this is worse than the Fallout 3 one, they've had 2 years to do something with the engine.
Well,
they made it worse.
They're already taking a buggy engine and doing something else with it. So,
yeah. But they didn't really do anything else. They did the same framework style like of Fallout 3.
Uh-huh. That's true. Like, when I would look over and watch Christine
like
play
Fallout 3.
It's indistinguishable from Fallout 3.
Yeah.
It could have been another.
It's another.
It could have been another DLC
like,
pack.
Yeah.
You know, like.
Yeah.
Well, essentially, it is.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just
it's
giant,
just a really expensive,
you know,
big expansion pack.
Yes.
And that's why I just can't
with,
get excited for it.
I mean, there are
it.
Changes
yeah,
to
yeah,
it.
As much as I loved Fallout 3, it's just like, I don't know. That's just, ugh.
Yeah.
The main quest, not so great.
Yeah.
But the side stuff is really interesting. Mm. And it's a lot of fun. There's
I
a lot of just random stuff in there.
I'm going to stick to
that
Fable.
Just makes you laugh.
Yeah.
Fable.
I saw you playing Fable last night.
Yep.
I'm also playing Fable. I dig.
Yeah, I like it a lot.
You dig?
I dig.
Is that kind of Kinect stuff when Kinect comes out?
It seems like it has some. The interface kind of reminds me of Kinect. You have to hold A to do it, and it's like, you know, with your hand,
drag,
to select things.
Drag the map and stuff like that.
We'll see. I don't know.
I don't know how you're gonna do that without a button though. It's like you close your fist, then you move the map.
No, have you not used any of the Kinect stuff? When you just hold it.
Okay.
And then it sort of, you know, has a line or whatever. Yeah.
You have to go like all the way around the circle, and then you move your hand. And
if you just keep it there, then it's like pushing.
That's how you
the
select things on menus and everything. Okay.
And but when Eric's review is going up on Tuesday?
Fable review is right? Tuesday, yeah.
Tuesday, yeah.
We went to a Kinect event last night.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing was embargoed, so we can talk about everything.
And Kinectimals, what'd you say?
I played Kinectimals. I rode a Halo ghost in Kinectimals. They have they have the ghost. They have a warthog. Because there's
what?
Like,
are those like pets?
There's no. They're
I'm confused. What do you mean you rode them?
There's a stunt course, I guess,
where you like hop in a car as your cat, like you're driving a car.
The cat drives the car?
Oh yeah.
What?
Oh yeah. Oh, yeah.
The cat is driving the ghost?
Damon's eyes are really wide.
I was
right
a little cheetah. He's adorable, by the way. I named him Snuggles.
Oh.
Yeah. I taught him to jump. I taught him to lay down. They had me laying down in front of like an entire gaming press thing.
Sure.
Doug Perry sitting there.
Yeah. Because to teach him to lay down, you have to lay down.
And like to teach him to jump,
and it didn't really work when I laid down. He's like, oh, it's not responding right. Sorry,
there's about 100 people.
So it didn't work.
No, it didn't work.
So everyone that
but the ghost did. And driving the ghost did, and boosting, you know, forward with your hands boosted the ghost.
So wait, do you drive from a first-person, third-person perspective?
It's third-person, yeah.
All right. And so you control it by, you use an imaginary steering wheel.
Same as Joyride, if you play
the
Joyride.
The listeners can't see what you're doing. So I'm
You
have an imaginary steering wheel, and then the thrust, you push your fist forward.
Okay. Correct, yeah.
And it's,
very responsive. It's same as, you know, Joyride responsiveness. It works well.
In Kinectimals, you drive a car.
Yep.
That just seems bizarre to
me. Drive a Halo vehicle.
Yeah.
It's amazing to me.
Late in the game. They had a late game save, and that's why they had this.
What's even weirder about this is that Kinectimals is a kid's game.
Right.
Rated E.
There's no guns. Like, there's no blood. There's no covenant.
And they've got this vehicle from M-rated.
That's totally for, like,
shooter.
The parents to be like, cool, at least there's something in here that I might like.
Well, yeah. Halo's and Kinectimals.
In Nintendogs, you could actually earn, like, remote control cars and helicopters, but you would control.
And you could do a Halo ghost also?
No. But you control from, like as if you were controlling a remote control plane, so the camera would stay where you were, and then you would watch it go off in the distance and come back. So this is different, where you're actually controlling like a regular game, like a kart racer, right?
Right.
It's not a kart racer. It's an obstacle course basically for your car. You know, I mean, it's one race.
So is it like the running thing, but you're anybody. Just in a car?
It's a time thing. Mm-hmm. And that's it. There's no like kart racing aspect to it. It's not, you know.
But I'm saying, like, the perspective is from, like, say if you were playing Mario Kart, where the camera's behind your car. Yeah. Okay. I get it.
Because the other stuff you do is it's almost an exercise game. Like, because
you're jumping.
As the cat, you're like running, and have to jump to make him jump and, like, you know, balance and
throw things.
Yeah. I was like, it's totally an exercise game, but masked by cute cats.
There were some hard things, too, when they jumped into the later part of the game, that you had to throw a hula hoop over little fireworks to make them go off. And there's, like, a line of fireworks, and you have to, like, you know, direct it properly. And it wasn't, I don't know, it didn't really pick up on
that seems like
properly.
A weird thing to do with Kinect.
Yeah, it was like, they were like, well, since this is later in the game, you know, you'll be good at it by now you're actually playing Kinect.
Throwing a frisbee with Kinect seems...
Throwing a hula hoop. Or, like, just trying to, I don't know.
Because it can't pick up fingers, so it doesn't really understand the release. Understand you know, it doesn't know release. It just kind of... Guesses
that's disappointing
with your
if it
direction.
Can't if it's supposed to be able to do certain things, the ability to recognize when a fist is open or close, not the inability of not having that ability seems crazy.
Yeah, because I mean it's the same thing like when you're petting your cat, you know, you could reach out with two fists, but the fingers are always doing this, you know, and it just detects
it's not
like,
actually
as you do
following your fingers, it's just making it look
like you're petting your cat with your fists,
really. Yeah,
you're pounding them, pound.
I love these kittens.
And you can like reach around and like scratch
around,
his butt, and he's like,
"Who's the best in the United States?"
It's
Champer
you.
Damper.
Champer Damper, that's right.
What?
It's you, Champer Damper.
What?
It's you.
What? Where's this coming from?
Look up cat massage.
YouTube.
Also, Dance Central is going to be the best Kinect game at launch.
It is, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, we've known that.
I mean,
Joyride is pretty fun. I enjoyed my time with Joyride. There were other games there.
Did you play Child of Eden?
No, it wasn't there actually.
It's probably only a first party.
No, it wasn't actually. Ubisoft had a game there.
And they didn't have Child of Eden.
Yeah.
Weird.
Yeah. That's a good point, actually. It's interesting that they didn't. They did have Kudo Tsunoda walking around with his awesome
sunglasses.
Did you get your hands on him?
I did, yeah. We did a little bro hug at the end. I didn't get to talk to him because I was just running around. But
did he see himself on our blog roll?
I don't think he did. He didn't mention it to me if he did.
It was a bizarre blog roll.
That was so weird.
Anyway, Fallout New Vegas. 8.5 on console, 9.0
on PC. PC, it runs better. It looks a lot better. It actually looks, you know, updated.
Yeah.
So, whereas, it's funny because I started playing on PC. Stupidly, I wanted achievements, so I switched to 360. And then I was like... oh my God, this game looks so ugly on this compared.
Yeah.
I mean, it still looks good, but you know, when you look at the PC and then you look at the console, you're like, not so good.
Well, Bethesda says they're addressing the bugs.
Well, they probably should have
released the PC patch,
done that
just on PC
before they released the game.
I know. I think the amount of
they
bugs
had to know. Like they, there's no doubt they didn't know.
They,
it was like, well, we got to make ship date. We got to push this.
The one where the head spinning one. I heard that they actually they showed it off as this is one of the bugs we eradicated, and then it actually showed up anyway. Like,
what's the head spinning? Like, explain.
So like the very first cutscene, but the first thing where you wake up or whatever, there's a guy talking to you and his head just spins around like Exorcist style. It's so weird.
That's awesome.
How does that bug even show up in something like that?
I don't know. I don't program
QA
things,
team should be fired.
It was crazy.
Honestly, I think the amount of bugs in Fallout 3 is unacceptable for a game that's shipped. That's just
game that's totally available for purchase.
Totally absurd. It should not have been shipped like that.
Yeah. Will was telling me he was actually having problems at the end of the game where he couldn't finish it. I didn't have that problem.
50 hours and he couldn't finish the game.
Yeah.
Did he ever finish it?
I don't know. I think he had to reload an old save. And because I told him, actually, I'm not going to tell because that's going to be spoilers. So never mind.
Yeah. Don't.
But I sort of told him a way that he could get around it.
Oh, okay. Nice.
I think he went back to try and do that.
Okay. So Sony says it has shipped 1 million Move controllers.
Shipped, not sold.
Yeah. I know. I know about this.
You know how they word the language in these crafty press releases.
And this is just in the Americas that they're talking about. Shipped 1 million Move controllers in the Americas.
Okay.
Jack Tretton, CEO of Sony Computer Entertainment, says, we believe consumers have already shown their preference for a precise, interactive game experience.
Yeah, it's called
really?
Wii.
Yeah, right.
That's not precise, but it's more...
They have not...
Same thing.
They will not disclose actual sales figures.
Duh.
I don't know.
It's going to look bad.
Yeah, nobody's...
Previous analyst estimates were put sales at around 300,000 in September.
And those are sales to consumers?
Yes.
Okay. Yes.
These are just analyst estimates.
Right.
So, you know.
I bought one.
Yeah,
but
I did because I had to review Lord of the Ring, Aragorn's Quest, and instead of driving all the way in the office just to borrow one, I went to Target and bought one for myself just so that I could have
one. And it was easy to get. There wasn't like a shortage.
Yeah, God, it was sitting on the shelves and everything, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's sad. A Sony Europe spokesperson said that they've actually sold 1.5 million in Europe already.
Hmm. Yeah, it's apparently bigger in Europe, right? It's
well,
doing
the PlayStation
really well
3 is bigger in Europe, I think.
And it released a month early, I think, in Europe, right?
Was it available a month early?
Yeah, when we were in Germany, we had copies. We had the actual unit sitting in our booth because I think that came out already.
Really?
Yeah, I think so.
Hmm.
Anyway.
Interesting.
I don't know. I'm very skeptical about. Like, I don't see the Move out there in the wild. I don't hear people talking. I don't hear people talking about it.
Yeah.
There's
no exclusive game for it. I mean, everything is just Move compatible. There's no Move specific game other than the one that comes with
Sports
it. Right?
Champions.
Sports Champions.
But that's the bundle.
Yeah.
It's like, is there
none
any
of the other
game
games? Only use
that,
Move controllers.
There was that Ubisoft game that I reviewed, the racket sports one.
Racket sports,
basically all sports games.
But that's garbage, right?
Oh, yeah, it's trash.
Yeah. It was garbage.
Why don't you want to buy it if you're just going to get to play?
I don't know. I'm very skeptical about.
I'm with you
about the Move sales.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And also, when a company says they've shipped a certain amount of units, it's just like,
that makes me go,
who cares?
Why didn't you release the sales
so that
numbers?
Could just mean that could just mean there's 1 million units in stores now and nobody bought
that
a single
nobody's
one.
Buying.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's Kinect is going to sell much better than Move initially, but I think actually Move is going to pay off in the long run more.
Really?
Than Kinect. I think. Hmm. I think Kinect is very new and it's cool and it's cool because it's new and different, but. It's
you
just
see
not
how
that
those
accurate.
Middle-aged ladies flipped their shit out when
Oprah
came.
Oprah,
Everyone getting Xbox 360. Never seen soccer moms be more excited about video games.
An entire audience of soccer moms are so.
Well, they have to. I'm sure they prepped them beforehand, and they're like, "You better get excited about whatever we're giving
you." What if they don't?
Then they get. I'm sure they'll just kick them out. What do they care?
Kick them out.
Oprah is not live.
It has nothing to do. It has nothing. It's like you're going to get on camera if you act excited.
Yeah,
I know.
So
that's how you get on The Price is Right.
Yeah.
Like whoever's going to be act like an excited idiot, that'll get you up on stage on Price is Right.
That's how Bromley got on The Price is Right.
He was on The Price is Right. That doesn't surprise me. But
he was when he was
I
fat,
didn't know
though,
that.
Right?
Yeah.
He was really
actually. Yeah, the video is amazing.
Yeah, he looks like he's wearing a fat suit.
It's
like
fat Bromley.
Crazy.
Is it on YouTube?
I don't know. Well, Bromley has a video. He'll be more than happy to show it to
you.
No doubt.
NBA Jam is out on the Wii.
It is.
Uh-huh.
Now it's been dated for PS3 and Xbox 360.
And it's so funny. It's not finished.
This is so confusing, the way this is being handled.
Absolutely baffling, and I think
it had a lot
up.
To do with NBA Elite. And,
which is also
NBA
bizarre.
No, it's not only that, but also it's just baffling how they're handling it. They're screwing the Wii sales because of they're announcing all this stuff like while they're trying to sell the Wii version. And they're not even finished with the 360 PS3 version yet because they're going to release that, what's
November 17th.
November 17th.
On disc.
And it doesn't have all the modes. It's like, oh, and in December you download the rest of the stuff.
What?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, read that.
Free downloadable update.
Actually read the story.
A free downloadable update will be released in December that adds additional modes and features.
Yeah.
That's stupid.
You're just getting the arcade version that's online and then like
for
in a month.
$50.
Yeah, for $50. And then later on, you'll download the rest.
You get online, like you get everything that the Wii people wanted.
Yeah.
Which is, you get like Remix online.
Well, you get online right out of the box, but only arcade.
Do we know what they're saying? What's going to be released in December?
Yeah, Backward Smash, Domination Free For All, Elimination 21, Online Progression, and Jam Party.
Yeah.
Okay.
But it's so funny. They're releasing this
so most of the
unfinished.
Like, yeah,
just like Fallout New Vegas.
Yeah.
The video game industry has gone
crazy. Just ship it out.
Crazy.
We'll patch it later.
Now they're
it's
just
fine.
They're just releasing unfinished games.
Right.
Now.
Yeah.
So
well, we're
bad.
Gonna. I mean, it's we're crazy. Gonna review the $50 boinked version.
I know. Yeah. We don't review games based on the promises of what
promises
is
going to
come in the future. I'm sure New Vegas will be patched and will run better in the future, but, you know.
Yeah.
That's not what I played.
We'll review what you can buy in stores and take home with you on day one.
Because you, consumer, are what matter to us.
Yeah. And you might not have the internet. So you might not get your patches.
Damon just took my phone. I was trying to send a tweet that I was on
you
GameScoop
can do that
right now.
But
then it'd be a lie because my tweet says game scooping right now.
Well, then you cancel that tweet and you rename
game
it.
Game scooped?
Just game scooped.
You're right. That's terrible. Fallout was not the only game you reviewed this week, Christine.
No.
Busy little beaver over here.
I know.
It's a
stressful weekend.
Costume Quest.
Yes.
For XBLA and PSN.
Indeed.
Tim Schafer has been tweeting out the ass for this game.
Right out the ass.
That's what developers do. Yeah. Like the Super Meat Boy devs. Jesus. Maybe I just unfollow these guys. All you're doing is just retweeting every single review of your game.
Right.
And that does not give me any value.
Or a retweet of somebody who just bought the game and is like, this game is the best game ever. I've
retweet.
Played for 5 minutes.
Great.
Retweet.
Yeah. Thanks for that. That was very valuable information.
Yeah.
Anyway. Costume Quest.
First solid 7.5. Good game.
Downloadable RPG problems. From Double Fine.
Yes.
Tim Schafer's house.
It's super cute. It's Halloween themed. You know, two kids on Halloween night going out trick-or-treating, but then there are monsters invading the town, and they are stealing all the candy.
Oh, man.
Oh, my God.
Funny story.
And your brother or sister, depending on... Because you can choose in the beginning which one of the twins you play as. You can be the girl or the boy. Mm-hmm. Whoever you don't play as gets kidnapped, so you have to go like on a rescue mission and save the town because, you know, candy being gone is really bad.
And there's not candy like lying in every single mailbox and under every garbage can in the game.
It's really fun. It actually sort of reminded me of the Penny Arcade adventure games because you know you just want to smash everything, and the
smash
battle is
everything.
Smash everything, and the battle is turn based, but it has some real time stuff in there to
you're
not like.
I just want to make sure everybody listening that they understand the reference.
That's the second fire everything joke I've made today.
I know. I heard the other one in the office. We should bring that back.
I do like that. Sorry.
Fire everything.
You're doing Star Trek?
Oh my God.
See, you didn't know.
Nerd.
I didn't know. I knew.
I didn't know. But oh well.
It's a good thing.
I've seen the movies. I have never watched the show.
Anyway, this is from the most recent movie.
I'm not a Star Trek fan.
I watched it.
Eric Bana.
Yeah.
Fire everything.
It was in the trailer. It was
Why do I not remember
and
that?
It's a running joke with Clemens and
I. I was too busy looking at Chris Pine because he's hot.
He is.
He was like, yeah. Oh, yeah.
He's a very good looking man.
I can recognize that. Good looking
dude. I had an anecdote about Costume Quest. Cliff Bleszinski's girlfriend tweeted, because I follow her, she's pretty attractive.
Wait, is this the new
girlfriend or the old girlfriend?
The new girlfriend.
Okay.
Yeah. She tweeted that Costume Quest is her favorite game of the year so far.
Wow.
Really?
Yeah.
The things I did not like about it, number one, it feels short. It doesn't matter whether or not it is short, it feels, you're like, oh, this is the last, okay, there's only really three areas you go to, and... a majority of the quests are very repetitive. Like, you do the same thing in the beginning, and then you do it again at the other level, and then you do it again at the end. Mm. And you're like, all right, I've done this enough. Yep. I don't need to bob for apples anymore or find all these freaking kids that are hiding from me. But did like the style. I like the idea. I think they just need to work on their gameplay a little bit.
Yeah. Do you think Tim Schafer is still going to wave at you when you see him at Burger Joint?
I hope so. I mean, there are things I liked about the game, and I hope that I expressed that enough in my review.
You gave it a good score.
And it's a good game, but it's just, you know, for $15, it's something I would probably hold off a little bit and wait till it's like $10 or cheaper.
It's disappointing that $15 has become the new standard for downloadable games.
Yeah, it's just...
Depends on what you get, though.
I know.
It does.
I'm not saying there are
how much effort it took to get them there.
I know. It's just, you know, it used to be $10 and now it's just like all of a sudden you're, I mean,
every
it's not
game
like games
like
are like
$15, you know,
longer or bigger. It's just like,
no. You
know, they just decided that they could get away with charging that.
Seriously, get used to that economy because the way things are moving, like with Google TV and Apple TV, where you can download apps to a TV box and you can play games on that, things are going to go like, you know, 99 cents to downloadable stuff to $15. It's just the way it's going to be.
Yeah. I mean, sure.
I don't like change. I want my cheap games.
Are the prices going to keep going up, though? I mean, like, in a year, like, are they going to be $20?
Like, yeah, well, $30? If you want a full-fledged experience,
I mean, at some point, I think people, it's got to go back down because people won't buy them. I mean, nobody's going to buy a five-hour game for $20.
Now, there's so many, like, deals of the week on XBLA. So, like, in a few months, in 6 months or something, a game will be $5. You know, it'll be part of the deal of the week. And a lot of people are saying, they're thinking, well, I'll just wait and get that game when it's the deal of the week, you know? Mm-hmm.
What about,
and that's what I say you do with Custom Quest. You wait until that's the deal of the
Call of Duty map packs. You get three maps.
That's a whole other story.
$15. I hate it, but
Activision is going to screw everyone as much as they can.
Oh, yeah. I mean, people buy them like crazy, though. I mean, I hate it.
Yeah.
It's so annoying. It's
Stop buying. Call of Duty is the last thing they have left.
Activision?
What?
Yes. Besides
World of
Blizzard.
Warcraft.
Well, that's Blizzard. That,
you know,
I would say Guitar Hero, the one other thing is going down.
No, but still, like, Rock Band, even though Rock Band's the cool thing, Guitar Hero still sells extremely well.
The last one did not sell well.
I would not say Warriors of Rock sold extremely well.
Yeah.
Especially
I'm saying
not for,
they're
like,
running that franchise into the ground.
It's already it's 6 feet underground at this point, I think.
Beat it over the head of the shovel over and over.
Very interesting to see how DJ Hero 2 performs. I don't think it'll be amazing, but I'd like to see it perform okay, you know. I think
I forgot about DJ Hero 2. Poor DJ Hero.
Win up on Tuesday.
Oh, I liked it. I liked it.
Good job, David.
DJ Hero 2 is very good. I gave it an 8.5. I gave the first one a 9. Because I feel like they added some cool new stuff, but then they added some other things that didn't quite work, and I prefer the soundtrack to the first game a little bit more.
You didn't review the Wii version yet,
though, right? No, but I just got it today.
Okay.
So, that and the PS3 version. But I think the soundtrack has a much more, like, mainstream appeal this time around. It's got, like, Lady Gaga and Kanye and Pitbull and all these, like, really popular top 40 radio and club hits, so.
I would love it. Greg would love it.
Yeah. Sure.
We're a big top 40 guy.
Although, Greg bought that game and then never played it.
The first one.
Yeah. And he bought the Renegade Edition. That stuff's not cheap. So we have it sitting in the living room.
But it has its own carrying case.
And it's got the case.
Because it's a lot of hand stuff.
It's just there.
What's wrong with Greg's hands?
Look at them sometime. You'll see.
All right.
Anyway. Yeah. DJ Hero 2 is good. That's out now. Wii Remote Plus is finally announced for the U.S.
Yeah. We knew about it for like a month. And when they accidentally let slip the box art for Flip Smash, where they were going to include it.
That's what it's called. Fling Smash.
Fling Smash. I'm sorry. Flip Smash. I don't know why I said that.
Do you fling and smash things?
Use the controller as a bat. But anyway, so yeah, they incorporate the Wii Motion Plus into a Wii Remote, and as if you didn't know that was
damn time.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
But now they finally announced it.
Now it works the way it's supposed to.
Yep.
How many years after launch?
Developers are patching technology.
Still doesn't work as well as the PlayStation Move controller. Right?
No, it's not going to. It's just the way it's just the nature of the beast.
So Fling Smash, November 7th, bundled with Fling Smash.
Bundled with Fling Smash, sold separately for $39.99 because it's going to take the place of the normal Wii Remote.
So this is going to be the only Wii Remote you can get.
Eventually, yeah. I mean, I think they're probably still going to push the rest out.
Yeah, they'll phase out their
liquidate
stock.
All the stock.
So a regular Wii Remote is $39.99, but this will be the $39.99. And it will also be included in a red color with the
Ooh, I like that red
Mario,
bundle.
The Mario 25th anniversary.
That's coming to the U.S. also?
Yeah. The annoying thing is, the bundle itself has Super Mario Brothers
Wii.
New Super Mario Brothers Wii.
Yeah.
Wii Sports, but no Wii Sports Resort.
which actually uses the
Motion
technology.
Plus. Yeah. So it's like they took out the game that would show off the Motion Plus. I just find that bizarre. Baffling.
And Kirby's out now.
Yes.
And I think we talked about that last week. But is there a lot of enthusiasm out there? Do you expect that to sell well?
I think it will.
Okay.
Yeah, absolutely.
I bought it.
But you haven't played it yet.
I haven't played it yet.
Christine is to Kirby's Epic Yarn as Greg is to DJ Hero.
Yeah.
But once those are done,
well done,
Kirby is on my list. I'm excited to play it.
It's an excellent game.
Yeah, I know. I like that game a lot. I'm very interested in the Wii market now. It just seems to have like all that. The excitement seems to have like.
Yes, yeah, it's fizzling. It's totally fizzling.
The funny thing is, Nintendo's going away from what Sony and Microsoft are trying to embrace.
Right.
The whole motion thing.
Yeah,
it's
like, doing more
Nintendo's
just like
we're just going to do the standard, you know, D-pad.
What we've been
and
doing
button.
For years.
So, yeah, Kirby,
since
when is that?
1989.
A little bit before 85, that.
85, dude.
Craig,
I thought Mario was like the Nintendo, like the first Mario. Super Mario Bros.
Right.
Nathaniel Ahern, you think
25th anniversary? Do the
Mario Brothers
math.
Came out in 1989.
The number I had in my head, dude.
Oh my god!
I was 4
Damon,
years old in 89.
You need to
How
give him back his iPhone so
that?
He can use the calculator to figure out 2010 minus 25.
You are a video game
expert.
I'm young, okay?
Yes,
don't
you are.
Fault me. I was 4 years old in 89. I was 0 in 85.
So you should
you're
be able to
zero.
Remember.
Right.
You should be able to remember when Super Mario Bros. Came out, the year you were born.
Well, now I will.
Jesus.
I have a question.
What's up?
Does Donkey Kong Country Returns use the... Is it
no,
like sideways
actually,
or is it...
No, that's
like...
the Wii Remote and Nunchuck.
Oh, okay.
And I think next week I have a hands-on with the final build. And that's embargoed until probably end of next week.
Can I play it?
I think you'd be able to come with me if you want.
Oh.
Yeah. Do you want?
That was one of my absolute favorite games on the SNES. I played that game over and over. It was crazy. Yeah. I don't know why I played it so much.
That's going to be the next
game. I think it was a good game.
That might have something to do with it.
It's probably that, and we didn't have anything else
Inside
to play.
Sources say that's one of the top platformer games of all time.
Inside Sources. Does that mean they work at the studio?
They work in Nintendo, but not on the project. They say it's
the new one.
The new one
is one of the top platforms of all time.
Of his, yes.
Of his,
yes.
Who's
the person? Who
the
told
person.
Me.
The source.
Just one of his favorites.
Mole.
His personal favorites.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Okay.
Yeah. Inside Sources.
Scoop.
Yeah.
Then there's the DS. The DS doesn't have very many huge games left.
It's petering out.
Yeah. But Golden Sun, Dark Dawn is one of them.
Yep. And I did a hands-on with the final build.
That's out at the end of November.
Yeah.
And you're liking it? You like the first two games?
Oh, I love the first two games, but it's like it's been a while since I've played
those
games.
The first two are both Game Boy Advance titles? Okay.
And they're just incredibly... They use the hardware really well.
And these are like traditional RPGs.
Traditional Japanese RPGs where you're wandering around, it's a random battle, and then you do the menu system to kind of attack all this stuff. And I'm not a big fan of random battles, but I don't mind the Japanese other style where you pick it from the menu. Yeah, I don't mind that at all. Mm-hmm. But this is random battles. It's just back to that archaic thing that needs to go away. But it has a really cool, like, Legend of Zelda style puzzle element to it as well, and that's why I like the Golden Sun series.
Yeah,
it's really cool.
Is it made by Camelot?
Camelot,
the guys that do Mario Golf.
Yeah, Mario Golf, Mario Tennis.
Yeah, well, I love Mario Golf.
I love Mario Golf. Love Mario Tennis too.
They went quiet for a very long time. So I don't know. This is. I hope they're working on other things than this. Yeah. This has been in the works for I don't know 3 or 4 years now.
Yeah.
So.
Is it, what can you tell us about this? What's different? What's new?
It's just streamlined. It's really, if you're familiar with the Game Boy Advance games, like they when you do these summon powers, that really takes advantage of the hardware, just these really cool animations. And
do you blow into
effects.
The microphone?
No, as far as I know, you don't.
Thank God.
Yeah. But so they really take advantage of the hardware. Ever. And like the interface is very Apple. Like it's very cover flow. You slide the menu system, then you kind of dig deeper into all the, like if you attack. It'll dig deeper into the menu for the attack, and then you move the cursor around to pick which enemy you want to attack. It's very Apple in its elegance, I think.
Speaking of Apple, this week EA acquired
look at this segment.
Chillingo.
Look at this.
Eh?
Look at you.
I've been around the podcast block.
Yeah, you are a host extraordinaire.
EA bought Chillingo, which is the publisher of Angry Birds.
Publisher.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Yes.
That's the important term
Not the developers. They don't get the actual Angry Birds.
No. But, I mean, Chillingo was Rodeo. Smart enough to recognize
sure,
that Angry, there was something in Angry Birds.
Right.
Sure.
So, yeah. Angry
and
Birds.
How much
and
did
cut the
they
rope,
buy it
right?
for?
Well, and, yeah, Chillingo also published
Cut the Rope. Yeah.
Right.
Now, We do not know the exact number that they paid. Originally, Reuters reported that EA paid $20 million for Chillingo, which sounded batshit crazy.
Yeah, that's nuts.
That was so low.
That is nuts.
In comparison, NGMoco, you know, one of the most recognized.
They make a lot of games.
Developers, but they haven't had a hit like Angry Birds.
There's And well, no games really. Been
somebody,
like Angry Birds.
A Japanese company bought them for $400 million.
Yeah.
And then you've got Angry Birds publisher bought for $20 million.
Yeah.
But apparently that figure is a lot closer to $100 million.
Yeah,
that we're now hearing from.
Yeah.
From different
people.
I don't know where Reuters got that.
They can all retire, is what we're saying.
But still, even if it is $100 million, which is even on the high side of what we've heard, that's still not that's a quarter
still only a quarter of what NGMoco was.
Whatever they made out like bandits on that deal.
NGMoco did.
Really,
it's true.
They were like, "You want to pay us how much?" Yes. Yeah. Where do I sign?
So anyway, EA now has a very promising looking publisher, iPhone publisher, under its belt.
EA just released Wreckin' Racing, I want to say.
Wreckin' Racing?
Yeah.
Yeah, I want to download that.
It's really good.
Is it good? I love top-down
it's really
racers.
Good. It's very, very good. It's totally like, what's that old, the old
Super
rally
off-road?
Game? Yeah, Super Off-Road. Yeah, it's totally like that. Very physics-based racing. It's really cool. It's like Dukes of Hazzard style, like sliding out. And
then how do you, tilt controls?
It's actually two, there's just left and right, and then like a gas button. Hmm. So,
it's touchscreen.
Yeah, I don't like on-screen buttons.
Yeah, neither do I.
On my iPhone.
You like Tilt? Huh?
No, I don't like Tilt either.
Oh, okay.
You don't like playing games.
You don't
your
like
iPhone.
Games then.
Oh, you're right. Those are the two options: on-screen D-pad or Tilt controls. That's it.
What else is there?
What do you think you do with Angry Birds?
You flick. Yeah.
That works perfectly.
Okay.
That works perfectly. Yeah. Speaking of Angry Birds, Angry Birds Halloween is out now.
Yeah.
I downloaded that last night.
Did you really? Do you spent the buck on it?
Why not?
Oh, it's...
Wait, is it a separate game?
You support what
it's
you like,
45 new levels.
You support what you like.
Yeah, I love
it's
Angry Birds.
It's a dollar, too. I mean, I scoff at a dollar. Like, who the hell scoffs at it? I mean, it's a freaking
dollar. You do.
Yeah, your favorite dollar. I have two in my pocket right now.
Isn't your favorite
$2.
Isn't your favorite iPhone game like 10 bucks, the Grand Theft Auto? Chinatown
That's
Wars?
An interesting question what my favorite iPhone game is.
You raved about that.
Yeah, I did. Maybe. Yeah, it's time.
Anyway, Angry Birds Halloween, 45 new levels for 99 cents.
Yeah. Game Dev Story is also very good.
So does it incorporate
you
itself?
I want to talk about Game Dev Story.
Oh.
You reviewed that this week.
I did.
Gave that a 9.
Yeah.
So this is like a simulation where you're running
game development studio.
Start up a new game development studio. It's got an awesome like pixel art.
Yep. Nate's Greats was my development studio.
Mine was Neutron Synergy.
I'm in my 38th year now. I just developed my own console called the Game Boob.
Looks like that.
The Game Boob?
So you name everything,
Yeah.
Nice.
Oh, look at them in their little cubicles.
It's so great. The game's so
great. Can you do with all when you name the consoles? Can you go on Facebook and show off your console?
You can't. There's
stuff?
No actually social networking integration at all.
Right.
It's too bad. I wish there was. Mm. I'd like to show that off to people that I've made my own console and have $300 million in the bank.
It's a very cool game. I think it'll appeal to anybody who listens to this podcast.
Yeah, exactly. If you're on IGN, I would say download this game because it really is cool.
Check out Game Dev Story. Last week, we gave away a copy of Super Meat Boy. We gave a code away on the podcast here. Maynard Salazar was the lucky winner who... put the code together.
Cool. Good.
Congratulations.
Well done.
This week we're giving away three custom Move controllers.
Wow.
So we're gonna
custom?
Yeah, we're gonna.
Ooh. You can't download.
We're gonna sign.
No, you can't download either. We're gonna help Sony get some Move controllers out there. Swords and Soldiers came out on PSN recently.
Damn it, Craig.
This is came out on WiiWare last year. This is a side-scrolling 2D real-time strategy game.
Yep.
It's very good actually.
Oh, cool.
I really recommend it. It's got a very cool cartoon art style, and it's one of the best RTS games on consoles.
Have pictures out there of the game?
Well, just the
in
little
the latest
one.
Images. Yeah.
Oh, not the RTS thing.
It's one of the best console RTS games because they simplified the controls and it just works really well. Yeah. A lot of fun. It's got a good sense of humor.
Nice.
So anyway, the developers have they're updating it with Move controls on PSN, and to celebrate, they've created three custom Move controllers that are painted with Swords and Soldiers artwork, and they're giving them away to three lucky GameScoop listeners. So, to enter for your chance to win, email us at gamescoop@ign.com with Swords and Soldiers in the subject line, and next week we will pick three listeners at random to win those.
Cool. Do we have any idea whether or not these controllers actually look cool?
They do look cool, yeah. I have the mock-up art for them. Hmm. They're attractive. If you have a PlayStation 3, you'll want these.
Yeah.
Good luck.
And an iToy. Does it come with an iToy?
No, I don't think it comes
Okay, so you better have an iToy, too.
Yeah, whatever.
Take that or leave it.
Let's check in with the listeners. This is Andrew Nickel. He says, I just wanted to express my sincere gratitude for outreaching to the fans and letting us be a part of Extra Life. Not only did my friends and I raise $647 for a great cause, but due to all your hard work and a personal phone call from Greg, I truly felt like I was part of something much bigger. I find it very humbling to know that you seem to appreciate your fans just as much as we appreciate you. Can't wait to be a part of the event next year. Keep up the incredible work. Yeah, we did Extra Life last Saturday, and that was a lot of fun. We played video games for 24 hours straight.
Yeah,
and by the end, yeah, we were all crashing.
8 a.m. to 8 a.m. all day Saturday, all night.
That's nuts.
To Sunday morning. And yeah.
I was okay until about 6 a.m. the next day.
Yeah,
and
that's
then
when
I was
it really
just
hits,
like,
yeah.
Oof, yeah.
I think my problem was just I had to get up at 5 just to come into the office. And and that's kind of what killed me.
Yeah, you ride the Caltrain. Yeah. Caltrain runs that early?
No. I drove in.
Oh, you drove in.
Like, I had to get ready, you know, I had to take a shower. And, yeah. You know.
We used to do a yearly movie marathon that was 24 hours. And man, it started at 7 p.m. and would go until 7 p.m. the next day. Yeah. And it was playing movies and all that stuff. But man, yeah, the next morning is when you see that daylight again, you're like, I haven't slept. I feel terrible.
And I was staring at load screens. So
yeah, you were playing Fallout.
Oh, that was
I was playing Fallout, and there was – I don't know why they were taking so long. Because then when I played it later, it didn't seem like they were taking – as long, maybe because it was running for 24 hours, and then it was like, shut me off. I hate you.
It wasn't debug, right? It was retail?
No, it was retail. But I'm just staring at like a load screen for 2 minutes, and then that's when I'm like, oh, I'm just going to close my eyes a little, wait for this to go away.
The game that Geddes was playing, is that still a big old
secret?
That's
still a secret.
Wow.
But I'll tell you, that game is a lot of fun.
Okay.
Yeah, it is fun.
Sure like that game a lot. Team IGN raised over $23,000 for Children's
Go
Miracle
us.
Network. So, yeah.
Thanks, guys.
That was great. That was great. Yeah. Thank you all.
Well done, everybody. I was not a part of that, but good job.
Yeah, I had my own Ustream. I think that helped out because I had, I don't know, a couple hundred in my bank, but as soon as I started Ustream, people started
donating.
Because I was playing like Mario Kart and Brawl and stuff like that. Had the camera pointed to the screen. It was good.
Nice.
Fun.
Great day. David Gerard writes in, continuing the Extra Life discussion, he says, I've been an avid GameScoop listener since the beginning. I am now 18 and am relatively healthy, but I was born with a disease called cystic fibrosis. This condition has forced me into St. Christopher's Hospital in Philadelphia as a child more times than I wish to recall. I just wanted to say how I truly appreciate everyone losing sleep for the sole purpose of raising money. I'm grateful that the editors of my favorite website are willing to go through everything you guys went through for the greater good. Thanks so much, David Gerard. Of course.
He's in Philadelphia, right?
That's what he said, yeah.
Have someone get you a Wawa hoagie.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. Wawa hoagie?
Yeah.
That sounds delicious.
Philly cheesesteak. That's where it's at.
And Amanda writes in. She's having her own Child's Play fundraiser at her school on October 26th. She says, just wanted to say, Scoop, I love your show. Love the charity events you've contributed to in the past. I'm excited to inform you that I was able to convince the philanthropy committee I'm part of to raise money for Child's Play. I missed the first two meetings, but when I finally went, they asked if anyone wanted to suggest a charity to raise money for. After a few seconds of awkward silence, I piped up and told them about Child's Play. They instantly loved the charity and found it rather unique. So now, this Child's Play
it's the Penny Arcade one.
It's run by Penny Arcade?
Yeah, I think so.
But it's specifically a video game fundraiser. Mm-hmm. A fundraiser put on by the video game industry. So now, if I may shamelessly plug, I'm at Hofstra University in Hempstead, New York. And on Wednesday, October 26th, from 11 a.m. to 3 p.m., there will be an atrium table in the student center where we will be selling $1 Twister games for Child's Play.
Twister.
So you pay $1 and play a game of Twister.
Oh, okay. I thought maybe you opened the board game. So,
she says, sadly, they didn't feel like going with the Rock Band. Any GameScoop fans passing by should give me a scoop.
Okay.
There you go. Look, that's Amanda. This is, again, Hofstra University in Hempstead, New York.
Funny story. Hofstra University, one of only three schools that wanted me to come play tennis for them.
You.
Wow.
Look at you.
Yep.
All right. This is Brinkman. Says, I just picked up listening to GameScoop the past year as a way to pass the time, driving 5 hours to and from my fiancé's place from med school. And you guys are the most entertaining group I get to listen to every week. It's great to listen to the random joy spewing from everyone on a weekly basis. So recently, I was talking with a good friend in my class, a retired Marine who was injured in the Middle East, about the modern warfare games, and he brought up an interesting point. Why don't people make interesting and fun war games based on the Civil War? He was saying how he's seen and played very few Civil War games. Most of them are terrible. And he thought that instead of all the games focusing on World War II or Modern Warfare, a company needs to create an intense Civil War game. What do you guys think? So the problem with
the
Civil War
the damn
is that they did not have
5 minutes
automatic weapons.
Right.
Yeah. They had to reload after every
shot.
There
were no clips. Yeah. It was just like fire one little ball of lead and then stuff the other one in there.
I just can't imagine that working as a first-person shooter. I could see that working as an RTS.
RTS, for sure.
Mm-hmm. But as a
I'm sure there has been RTS Civil War.
I'm sure there are, on
or just don't make
PC,
it realistic.
PC gaming's dead.
Right. Made to make both.
Just update their weapons.
Make both camps happy.
Well, they did that. Was it like Dark Days, Darker Days, where it was like a Civil War game with modern weapons?
Yeah. What was it, man? It was some.
It came out last year. It's terrible.
But they had an achievement for killing horses or something like that.
Punching a horse.
It was
a punching a horse in the face. Yeah.
But they should make both camps happy. If they make an RTS, then have the like just basically click on a person. I want to control that one person. You jump into that person, and you can
take your shot. And then okay,
all right, over here now.
I'm out. All right, this is Michael Drost. What was the game that pushed you into the realm of gamer? We had some video games growing up, Super Nintendo games, but living on a farm, I always had lots of places to explore and things to do outside. Finally, in grade 10, I made friends with a gamer. He showed me Grand Theft Auto 3, and I was hooked. Since then, I've become a much bigger gamer than him. So what would you say is the one game that got you hooked?
Oh, it's tough. I remember that my first game that I played, I think, was Tetris on the original Nintendo in my grandma's basement. Tetris and Mario and Duck Hunt, of course. Mm-hmm. And just that was my first memory of it. But the thing that really made me a gamer, I think, was sitting with my buddy in like fifth grade, and playing Crash Bandicoot on PlayStation, and then like going and
Crash Bandicoot sucks. Yeah.
Those games the original
sucked. No,
was
those
good.
Games always sucked.
No. The original was good. It was Naughty Dog.
Yeah, that was before they were making good games.
No.
Yeah, and I think like we had an Atari 2600 growing up, but I don't think it was until I got the NES and Super Mario Brothers in 1989.
No,
I was the first kid in my school to have the NES and playing Super Mario Brothers. I had played it in the arcade at Showbiz Pizza, which is what we didn't have Chuck E. Cheese in the Midwest. We had Showbiz Pizza.
Did they have anything cool in there like Chuck E. Cheese?
Oh yeah, they still have the animatronic.
Oh, they did?
Yeah, seeing animals and just like those
seeing animals are weird. Who thought of that?
Super creepy.
So creepy.
And they had the arcade cabinet of Super Mario Brothers, and it was mind blowing that I could play this arcade game at home. Yeah, it looks the same.
Street Fighter too. It's like, oh my god, it's the same.
I go way further back. well, I mean, the first arcade machine I ever saw was at a Five and Dime place in Maine. It was the original Space Invaders cocktail cabinet.
What is a Five and Dime place?
You know, like a trading post. Like, you know,
a what?
A trading post.
Were you like, that come up like with Civil your beaver pelt?
No, we were at a cabin in Maine. And so, like, you know, like to earn some money to get a candy bar down at the trading post, we would trade in some cans to get the refund. And we went.
Are
down
you on
to,
vacation here?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So then we went down and got trading the cans, and there was a cocktail cabinet of Space Invaders. And I'm like, oh, that's really cool. So I played it once, and that was it. But I think what really kind of got me hooked was my dad would take me to in Mount Laurel, New Jersey. It was a Malibu. There's a Malibu down on 101 over here, but it's the same chain. But it's an arcade with go-kart racing.
We used to have one of those in Kansas City, but it went out of business a while ago.
It's out of business now,
Malibu
too.
Grand Prix?
Yeah, Malibu Grand Prix in Mount Laurel, New Jersey. It's no longer there. But every time we would drive near that exit to go there, I would, like, with my dad, I would be like, oh, let's go. I hope we can stop there, whatever. But no, he would take me every once in a while, and we'd play video games, like the old-style bowling games where I had the trackball and you know, that kind of thing. I mean, this is back in, like, 1980. So these machines were really kind of rudimentary today's standards. But that's how I got hooked. And then a friend of mine got an Atari 2600. I convinced Santa Claus to get me a 2600, and we go from there.
What Santa. A good Santa.
Yeah.
That's have you, funny. Christine? I'm going to guess it was a PC point-and-click adventure.
No, I don't think I ever classified myself as a gamer, even though I had, like, the Super
Until
NES.
Until you worked at IGN.
And I played a bunch of PC stuff when I was, you know, in high school, but then I got out of it in college and stuff, and then I came
Wasn't cool.
back from
Wasn't
my...
Wasn't cool in college.
No, I had to study. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I actually had to do work. Then I got my job at Edelman. Mm-hmm. And then I had some games there. So then I think Viva Pinata was what got me back into gaming. Mm.
Wow.
And then Mass Effect is definitely what was like, oh yeah, okay, I could spend a lot more time doing this than I thought.
Yeah. All right, this is from Nasty Nate 501.
Nasty
oh,
Nate.
Is it your brother?
Yeah, my brother is the same name as me. Yeah.
Totally.
You have a very uncreative
it's your
mother.
Yeah, my blood brother.
Like I'm Nate again, whatever.
Oh, he looks like
he's drinking a Florida.
Oh, I'd have a drink with that guy.
Yeah.
He's your brother. You should.
That's Nate.
What is he doing at the bar with all these old women right
That's
there?
That's where
now?
You would Cougar get a Florida.
So he says, my 21st birthday was this past weekend, October 16th, and I would just like to thank you guys for my first drink. After listening to your podcast, my cousin thought it would be appropriate for my first bar drink to be none other than a Floradora. I've attached a picture of me and my Floradora, which was
really happy.
A very good drink that led me to getting very panda for an excellent 21st birthday.
Nice. Oh, well, happy 21st.
Yeah, happy 21st. And I'm glad you were able to find yourself a Floradora.
The double t-shirt look, I think you need
the
to lose
that. The double t-shirt? What do you mean? Nate.
He's got two t-shirts on.
He
and
does?
It's yeah.
You know,
oh, you're actually looking at that?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Wow. He's a Nate. You got to look out for all Nates.
You know, maybe he lives in a cold area and you have to double
what
up.
What the hell is he doing wearing a t-shirt?
Maybe he has pointy nipples and he just wants to hide them.
That could be too.
Yeah.
Then you wear a white tank top, otherwise known as a white beater. Not a big fan of that term, but that's what it is.
I do like that this lady behind him is smiling as well.
Yeah, she's pumped.
She's like, oh, I'm in this picture. I photobombed you.
I don't know where I am.
Unless you know her, in which case.
Little does she know,
that's my mother.
On a gaming podcast.
That would be weird if you went out with your mom on your 21st birthday.
Yeah, that's true.
Not that I'm passing judgment.
Speaking of Floradora, I have to give a shout out to GameScoop superfan Neil Cunningham from San Diego. He was in town this week and he hit us up and Greg and I met up with him and we had many, many Floradoras and we got wasted at Rick House. He was a really fun guy.
Nice. Always like hearing about fun IGN fans. Yeah. Come and hang out. It's cool.
This is Chris Collins from Olathe, Kansas, representing my hometown.
Nice.
Says, I really enjoyed your video review for Super Meat Boy Damon, and I'm definitely interested in it. I'm curious about how the difficulty compares to other difficult XBLA games like Explosion Man, Trials HD, and N+. Does it have a good checkpoint system like Explosion Man and Trials, or is it kick you in the balls until you spit up blood difficult like N+? It's definitely much more the latter. There are no checkpoints. The stages are kind of short, which is a good thing, but, you know...
Once you start a level, I mean, you go right back to the beginning.
Yeah, even if you make it all the way... Almost to Bandit Girl at the end of it and die, you have to start over the whole thing again. Yeah, but like I said, once you know what you're doing, like you can fly through several stages, you know, in just a matter of minutes, and then you'll get stuck on for a long time.
Yeah.
It's very difficult, but really, really fun game. And of course, it's on sale. It's regularly priced at $15, but it's there's a launch sale, 33% off, so you can get it for $10 until next month sometime. This is from Carlos Peralta. He says, I was lucky enough to pick up Shadow of the Colossus for the PS2 when it first came out, and I just fell in love with it. I loved the music, the gameplay, even the crappy graphics. I don't think it was crappy at the time.
It was framey.
I actually never played that game. I need to play it. Everybody talks about it.
Wait for the HD version. Yes. Yeah.
I really can't wait for the HD version if they fix that frame rate, because that's the thing that turned me off on the game.
Carlos says, needless to say, I was very psyched when I heard that Ico and Shadow of the Colossus were being ported to the PS3 in HD. But there's one thing that has been bothering me lately. That is the trophies. If there is one thing that I loved about this game, it's the way that it immerses you into its world, and I feel that those trophy pop-ups and notifications will ruin the entire gaming experience. So my question to you is, do you feel that gamers who didn't play the first game will not be able to experience it the way it should be experienced and might get a wrong picture of the game? Would you be willing to play with all the notifications off?
Yes, but you can't turn notifications off, right?
Yeah. I don't know if you can turn off trophy notification, can you?
I thought it was a thing that you can't, but I could be wrong. I mean, play PS3 that much, I thought I remember hearing that was a big complaint.
Developers have control over when those pop up. Like, for example, the Heavy Rain, they popped up in the breaks, but not during the game itself. And that was intentional so that people weren't getting annoyed during the storyline. So maybe that's the case.
That's a good way to handle it.
Yeah, that would solve things.
I would say those achievements and trophies don't ever bother me.
No. Like I get more. I'm like, oh, cool. I just got to.
I know. Yeah. It's like.
I get annoyed when people, log in and stuff like that. I'll turn those things off.
Yeah, that can be
annoying. Last night I was playing Puzzle Quest and someone was obviously having internet problems. Oh, they're just like,
They're online.
They're online.
God damn it. Speaking of Puzzle Quest, Puzzle Quest HD is now on iPad for $5.
There you go.
Cool story, bro.
Yeah.
Scoop.
Do you have an iPad?
No, I'm waiting for the second one.
Oh, okay, that's me too.
Yeah. I want one so bad, though, because I see Mark Ryan messing with his, and it's so cool.
This is Max. He notices that the fourth game in a series usually doesn't have 4 in the title, like Halo Reach.
Call of Duty 4.
Call of Duty Modern Warfare. And
Resident Evil.
Call of Duty Modern Warfare Fallout. Did have Call of Duty. It was Call of Duty 4 Modern Warfare.
Oh, was it?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
What's up? Fallout New Vegas is another example, too.
Mm-hmm. Resident Evil 4, that's going against the grain there.
Okay.
Well, so not there, every game, but there are
a couple games that are the fourth entry in the series that don't have four in the title.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think they did that for Fallout because it wasn't really Fallout 4.
You know what?
He's right. It's an expansion. That's what the case is most times, is that if it's not a huge departure from 3, they'll colonize it and
colonize Fallout New Vegas.
Well, with Guitar Hero, they had Guitar Hero World Tour, and then they went with Guitar Hero 5.
Right.
And then now they're with Guitar Hero Warriors of Rock. Right? Or was World Hero...
Warriors of Rock is 6.
Really?
No, I thought it was 7 because there's Van Halen.
No, those don't count.
Oh,
those
don't count. No, they don't count.
No, it's like Metallica.
Yeah, Metallica. Yeah.
Okay.
It's Beatles. It's Beatles Rock Band. Is that Rock Band 3? No.
Yes, those are more expansions as well.
Yeah. But no, these right. It even goes further back. Like, you know, Super Mario World was not Super Mario 4.
I'm hungry.
Was there a Super Mario 4? There wasn't a Super Mario 4.
What I'm saying is that was Super Mario 4.
That was the fourth one, and they didn't call it Super Mario Brothers 4. Yeah. All right, last one. This is from Andrew. My name is Andrew Kennedy, a longtime listener. Just wanted to write in and thank you for all your good work. I recently got a job, again, and you guys really keep me awake on my hour-long ride home from work with the constant laughter. By the way, don't use my real name. Just kidding.
Oh,
also, I wanted to ask, he's being clever, is there anywhere on the net that I can find pictures of you guys? I listen all the time, and it's kind of nice to put a face with the words.
Facebook. Put a face on the book.
Andrew.
Put a book to the face with the Facebook.
Andrew, you should be friends with us on Facebook.
Yeah.
We are very friendly people.
Although I have not logged on in a very long time.
I'm very active on Facebook.
As am I.
So actually, all the listeners should be friends with us on Facebook and should follow us on Twitter.
Nate Ahern, Damon Hatfield, we're all out there.
I like to.
Craig Harris, Christine Steimer. Yeah. Sorry, guys.
Everybody. When I have extra free games to give away, too, I always like to give them away on Facebook.
He doesn't like to give them to us. You know, he gives them to the list.
Yeah. Well, he's a bastard.
Like, even though I'm like, where's my copy of X? And you have
I give away the games none of us
bro,
want.
I shipped them.
But everybody else does.
What about Super Meat Boy?
Case in point. That one, I didn't have one.
Oh, really? I thought you gave some of those away.
No, I gave one away on the podcast this week. Yeah, you got to reward the listeners.
Yeah. I want that game.
You can buy it.
I can.
It's on sale right now.
$10. Launch the window.
All right, that's all the scoops we have for this week. Any listeners in the Bay Area, if you download this podcast early and you listen to this before 9 p.m. tonight, come out to Rocket Room in
I was going
to
say this. I was going to do a little...
You want to do a promo?
Yeah, I was just going to do it for you.
All right, do it. Go ahead.
Well, Damon's spinning records at Rocket Room tonight, 406 Clement Street, between like Clement and 5th, 4th.
Yep, that's true.
It's going to be a great time. The whole IGN crew should be there.
We'll be there all night. 9 to 2, 9 to close.
Yep.
Bunch of IGN folks will be
drinking.
There. We'll be getting Panda. Come on.
Things are going to get nasty.
Oh, yeah. The nasty Nate's going to come out.
Yep. Oh, no.
I'm going to be pantsless before the end of the night.
Are you going to do the Mass Effect dance?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah. I'm just going to be playing Mass Effect music all night.
Nice. It's just a bunch of bleeps and bloops.
It's really just a bunch of bleeps and bloops. Thank you, Christine. Thank you, Craig. Thank you, Nate. My name is Damon. Mm-hmm. This is IGN GameScoop, and we're out. Come get some. Beware, I
live. IGN GameScoop. Hey there, this is Justin Bartha. I made a funny new podcast, King of the Egg Cream. It has the greatest cast in the history of podcasts with actors like Louis Black.
I'm torn by my feelings for two women.
Bobby Cannavale.
You can eat it. Or if someone hits you, you can put it on your cut.
Melanie Lynskey.
I wonder what these marvelous things are that look just like boiled chicken feet.
Jason Ritter.
I can break things and pick locks and kill people.
Michael Stuhlbarg.
The whole point is to inspire people that they should make themselves better.
Ari Grainer.
No, don't whet its appetite. What are you, an idiot?
Me, Justin Bartha.
That's not just any egg cream, that's a Lemke's special.
And all narrated by the hilarious Richard Kind.
This is the story of Harry Dalowitz and how he rose from nothing to become New York's King of the Egg Cream.
So if you like funny true stories, come listen to King of the Egg Cream, available wherever you get your podcasts.